Okay, is tape running?
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the August 28th, 2014 Code Enforcement Special Magistrate Hearings. What we have done, if any of you have not talked to the code officers to let them know that you're here, we take the ones that have appearances first so that you don't have to sit so long. We try to handle that as quick as possible. I received the minutes as prepared by the secretary of the last magistrate hearing, and those are approved as prepared. We need to swear in the officers, please.
You swear affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. Okay. Please, magistrate, let me indicate for the record that Greg McClellan, our volunteer, Dwayne Thomas, Charles Rich, Jason Kilcrease, Rob Schultenberger, and David A. Thompson, second.
Okay. What order would you like to do this in?
Did we achieve the minutes and okay.
Keep up, Chip.
We do have representation on case C-114-0906. For the record, let me indicate my name is Charles Rich. I'm with the City of Ocala. I'm the duly appointed Chief Code Official for the city. I'm certified by the Florida Association of Code Enforcement and certified in all four levels of training. I've been in charge of the division for more than 6 years now, and I'll be presenting your cases this morning. I have 30 years of law enforcement experience. Proceeding in the docket to C-114-0906, the City of Ocala and Officer Jason Kilcrease versus James E. Crawford, Jr. We may have a resolution in this. Apparently, Mr. Crawford met with Mr. Kilcrease this morning and advised him that he has brought the property into compliance. He has indicated that he has receipts for saying. Having said that, I think we would just get an order with cross-cost and a re-inspection by the officer, and we may be able to wrap that one up really quickly.
Okay, give me this.
I can read in the record.
Yeah, 1 second. Let me get a drift here on what we're doing. Okay, this was a water collection, which I presume is a pool.
No, it was a septic tank.
Septic tank? Okay.
Yes, sir. And I'll read it in the record. James E. Crawford, being the respondent, 3004 Northwest 17th Street, Ocala, Marin County, Florida, a violation of Section 3432, Water Collections 3495, Weeds, Accumulation of Trash, and Other Unsightly Unsanitary Matter, Unsanitary and Offensive Privies, Water Closets, and Building Permit Required. The parcel ID is 2170-003-010. All certified mail was returned. We did post the property with the NOV and the NOH on 8/1/2014. We would require a permit. We have indicated in the end of your presentation the photos of the condition of the property when the officer responded out there. Basically had open septic tank drain.
Okay, the permit is an element of the cure, right?
Yes, sir.
It's not that he's been out there doing something, building.
No, he was doing something.
No, he was doing something.
So we required a permit to have all the connections made. He was apparently making a sewer connection, or not sewer connection, but septic.
Septic connection.
Septic connection.
Okay, which to the drain field?
Which does require a permit.
Okay, and what is our accord that we've reached?
Well, I believe what we would do is just accept staff recommendation without a fine, imposition of costs, and a re-inspection by the officer. So okay. If it's found at that time, we would bring back to a non-compliance hearing.
Okay, so we think it's in compliance now?
We're being advised that it is. We have not made an inspection.
Okay.
And the respondent is here if you'd like to ask them about it.
Okay.
We could do that now.
Who's our respondent out there?
Officer Kilcrease here as well.
Is this also your understanding?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Come forward.
That's okay, just for the record, state who you are.
My name is James Crawford, Jr. Okay. At 3004 Northwest 17th Street, Ocala, Florida.
Okay, you need to be sworn in by the secretary.
You swear affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so you've got this all fixed?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right. The consequence of having the case resolved as it's being resolved is that as long as you don't have another case, you're fine.
Okay.
You're going to get a cost assessment, which is probably just a few hundred bucks at the most. $112.69.
How much?
$112.69.
Okay.
And so you need to go ahead and pay that. I think this says a, how long is the window for the payment of the costs? I think they're talking 30 days. I'm not sure. Let me get to the staff recommendation. Hold the board. 14 days?
Yes.
Is 14 days represent a problem for you to pay the $112?
I got to get it from my sister, so I'm hoping so.
How about I talk 30 days just to make sure we got time?
Okay.
All right. I'm going to adopt the staff recommendation pursuant to the agreement between the parties with a single modification that I'll provide the respondent 30 days in which to make the payment of the cost assessment.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
That works for sir.
Okay. That works for everybody. Great. Have a good day, and thank you for cleaning it up.
Please, the magistrate, we can move on to in the docket this morning to page 4. C-114-0595.
Paxton?
Yes, sir. The City of Ocala and Officer Jason Kilcrease versus Genevieve O. Paxton. Revocable living trust and trust et al. A violation of a location at 1117 Northeast 8th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly and sanitary matter, section 82442, implementation and enforcement of the numbering system, 82443, mm-hmm. display of building numbers. So we have a definition and a violation.
Okay.
The parcel ID is 2618-002-009. Certified mail was returned. However, we did obtain a proper service return on 8-6-2014 for the notice of hearing. We post the property on 6-5-2014 for the notice of violation and on 8-5-2014 for the notice of hearing. The summary of findings that Officer Jason Kilcrease responded to this location due to a citizen's complaint and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown and contains junk and debris, does not have the required building numbers. Additional investigation by Officer Kilcrease revealed the respondents have not taken corrective action on the violation and all attempts by Officer Kilcrease to have the respondent remedy the violation have been unsuccessful. We included photographs at the end of your presentation indicating the location of the property. Mm-hmm. And the condition of the property. Officer Kilcrease is prepared to answer any questions that you may have, and we have a staff recommendation.
Okay, give me just 2 seconds here. And let me take a look. And then what's the current status of the city's view of using these tarps to just sort of shield?
Well, actually, there is no, it's not allowable in the code. A vehicle has to be in what the city views as enclosed in a structure.
Mm-hmm.
But in that case, they did remove the vehicle and the apparatus.
So that's already gone?
Right. What we have now is basically the junk and debris that's been piled up and being collected in the backyard.
Okay.
And we've been working with them for quite a bit of time here, since May, to try to get it resolved. And that's what we end up with, is just the stuff that's in the backyard at this point.
The county, strangely enough, has reached the conclusion that since their code does not have a definition of a wall, that those tarps constitute a wall.
Right. Ours
absolutely is, unbelievable.
Ours actually states a structure.
Yeah. Okay, you're recommending
staff recommendation is finding the respondent guilty of violating code sections 3495, 82442, 82443 to cut and clean up the property, removing all junk and debris, ensure the house and postal address numbers are applied to the residents in accordance with the code, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed,
mm-hmm.
all within 14 days.
Mm-hmm.
Failing which, a fine of $25 per day, and city to enter upon the property to do the work utilizing any means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure.
Okay.
I believe we have representation here.
Okay.
Officer Kilcrease is also here, prepared to answer any questions that you have.
Okay, let's see what the property owner has to say.
Very good.
Whoever the property, come on up, sir. You'll be sworn by the secretary and tell us who you are and where you live, please.
Do you swear affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And if you could state your name and address for the record.
Ted Jackson, 3961 Southeast 38th Street, Ocala.
Okay.
I'm here representing my mom's trust.
Okay, so, all right, I was going to ask you that. Okay.
This dad passed away in 2011. This person has been living in prior to him.
Mm-hmm. So this is a tenant that's in possession?
Yes, this is a tenant. Some months ago, it was Jason Kilcrease, it was a female officer. We did clear it and then got rid of the problem, and now they've done it again.
Yeah.
And they've got dogs, and they're very combative.
Yeah.
I tried to get her to go down there with me and say, what do you want us to do? And she's like, I'm not comfortable going there.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a situation where I'm in a tough spot, and the only recourse I have is, I guess, eviction.
Yeah, that's probably what you got.
Yeah, and that's probably where I'm going to end up.
Okay, are they current in the rent?
No, they're not current.
Well, that makes eviction a little easier. Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't catch where you said you lived. Do you live here in town?
Yeah, I live.
Okay, so you're readily available to give Mom a hand with this.
Oh, yeah.
And these folks don't show any signs of either cleaning up, paying rent, or leaving?
No, they have no electricity. No,
okay.
I mean, they've been there for, yeah. And, you know, I've been doing a number of evictions.
Okay, so you've been down to the basement of the courthouse, and you've talked to the people in the county.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know the process.
Right.
Okay.
You know, that's where I'm at on this.
Okay, and you don't particularly dispute the fact that there's a mess back there that needs cleaning.
No, I do not.
Okay.
There is definitely, on that side of the house, in the backyard, there is a mess.
Okay, I think I'm going to modify the staff recommendation a little bit. What I'm going to do is I'm going to stagger this thing. I want you to either have filed an eviction suit or have these people gone in 14 days. As you well know, it takes 30 minutes in the basement of the courthouse to file an eviction suit.
Right.
You don't have to complete it. Just file it. Start it. Okay?
Right.
And if you do either have them gone or started, in those 14 days, you then will have them evicted within 40 days.
Yeah, that's about roughly.
Yeah, I'm just doing the math in my head.
Yeah.
If you need more time, if you actually get started, need more time, come back and talk to me. We'll work with that.
Okay.
And so the compliance date is two steps. Have a county suit for eviction filed in 14 days, have it cleaned up in 40 days, okay? And we'll go from there. Otherwise, I adopt the staff recommendation. Okay, that ought to get you down the road with a reasonable amount of time to get them out of your hair.
Yeah, I will get that started tomorrow morning.
Okay, good enough. Tomorrow morning is A, Friday, and B, the day before a long holiday. I'd go see the county clerk this afternoon.
Okay.
Just a clue. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you coming in. Good luck with it all.
Please magistrate, we move to the docket to page 2.
Page 2.
CU-114-0824.
Ready?
Yes, sir. Read investments.
824. Got it. Okay.
This is a case involving the city of Ocala and Officer Dwayne Thomas versus Reedy Investments LLC, a location at 3711 Southwest College Road, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash and other unsightly unsanitary matter. Section 110.31, removal of prohibited or abandoned signs. And Section 110.82, continuation, generally continuation, meaning the term continuation of signs. The parcel ID is 23754-000-00 Legal service was obtained on 07 and 09, 2014, for the notice of violation, and 08-06, 2014, for the notice of hearing. We posted the property on 07-3, 2014, for the notice of violation, and on 8-5, 2014, for the notice of hearing. As part of your presentation, we've included a copy of the SunBiz report and utility information indicating that when the old Cash's Exxon or Citco left the place, that the power had not been.
Okay, so Cash doesn't own that anymore?
No, sir.
Okay. I see it's a 2010 deed.
Right, we believe Cash just went out there between 2009 and 2010 and they departed.
Okay.
We would require a permit for removal of the signs. And the summary of findings are that Officer Dwayne Thomas responded to this location due to a citizen's complaint. And upon arrival, observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown and contains junk and debris. At that time, on his arrival, he also observed the property is in violation of the city's sign code in that all of the signage of the previous owner, Cassius Citco, is non-compliant and non-conforming with the code and was required to be removed 3 years after the business closed, in approximately between 2009 and 10. Additional investigation by Officer Thomas revealed that the respondents have not taken corrective action on the violations, and all attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondents remedy the violation have not been successful. The violation remains. As part of your presentation, we've included photographs of the current situation there and the signage in question. We have a couple of problems here. The signs are non-compliant in that they do not comply with the current code. They were allowed as long as Cash's was in business, continuing
then
business.
Then they had 3 years to take them down.
Yes, sir. Essentially, that was it. After Cash's went out, we did entertain a case back in 2010 timeframe where these respondents came in and told us that they were anticipating an immediate use. They got a business tax certificate, but it
didn't happen.
It didn't happen. What we felt is if they had made an immediate use, they would have brought the signs into compliance in, you know, as part of the conditions of the CO occurring on that property. But no CO occurred, the power was never turned back on, and here we are 3 years later. Now the signs have to come down. They're non-compliant in their size, height, and in setback requirements. So we have no problem with them repurposing the signs if they bring them into compliance and put them in accordance with the setbacks. But it's our impression that they have entered or are negotiating to enter into a contract to put a CNG plant there with the county.
Okay.
And that they were going to demolish the structure, at which case that would also trigger the signs having to come down.
Okay. So let's talk about what the concept of compliance on the signs are. Does it mean that the pylons need to go away,
yes,
or
sir,
the faces, or what are
correct.
We talking about?
That, all of the above, actually.
All of the above.
Size.
So this is the same as
the
Silver Springs Boulevard and...
Yes, it's consistent with what we've applied
throughout
the city.
Okay.
When the time frame ticks, we have to bring them back into a conforming status. So if they wanted to repurpose the signs, we believe that would be acceptable, but they do have to come down because they don't meet the height and the setback requirements of the current code.
Okay.
Notwithstanding the fact that if they're going to demolish the structure, they have to come down.
Okay.
All included.
Enlighten me as to what you think the word repurpose means.
Well, I'll give you an example. We required the Hardee's on the 900 block of North Pine Avenue to remove their non-compliant, non-conforming signs. They were
right.
close to the road.
I remember that.
And they were too large.
Right.
They were able to get the sign contractor to actually cut the box down
mm-hmm.
and lower
bring
the
it
height
down.
Of the sign. They moved it from a dual pole to a mono pole,
mm-hmm.
which brought it
which moved
back.
It further back away from the right-of-way.
Yes, sir. And the power lines.
That was creative. Okay.
And so they were able to repurpose the signs. They are going to be non-compliant again, which...
Because they're closed again now.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So we'll be bringing that back. But they do have the blank panels in there that prevent the tube lights and the internal guts
from showing
of the sign from being visible.
Okay.
So that there's, you know, slim light concerns. There's concerns with the size and the placement of the signs. and certain...
Okay, that's what I was just looking at. There's the one large one that seems to have a frame and then another frame. It probably rotated or something at one point in time.
Yeah, that's adjacent to the interstate.
Right, and then you got the one that has pay at the pump on the base, so there's two.
Yes, sir.
Is that the only two signs we're talking about?
Yes, sir, that's it. And of course, we will be working on that donation container soon.
Well,
the
need for charitable boxes just exploded in the last 3 months.
Yes, sir. And then the other problem that we have here is just the junk and debris on site.
Yeah, I see that. That's a mess. Okay, no problem. That's easy. Okay.
Well, so I do have a staff recommendation.
Tell me about it.
That would be to find a respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 3495 and 11031, 11082. Order them to 1, cut and clean up the property, properly removing all junk and debris. 2, remove all signage of the closed business by obtaining permit within 30 days, removal of the signs to be completed within 60 days. And 3, to pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed all within 30 days, failing which a fine of $50 per day. And the city to enter upon property to do the work utilizing any means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. Officer Thomas is prepared to answer any questions that you may have, and we do have representation by the respondents on site for that.
Okay, let me look at your cost affidavit. Let me see where you are on that. Your cost, there's probably not much. Okay, 152.
Yes, 153.
Gotcha. Okay, let's talk to the owner and see what the plan and plot is here. Owner, come join me.
Good morning.
Good morning. If you'll be sworn in by the secretary, please.
Do you swear affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And your name and address, please.
Neil Patel, 1820 Southeast 18th Avenue.
Okay, what are we doing?
Okay, so as far as I know, the first notice that we got was in July this year. And being here since 2007 and doing the acquisition deal with HR Cash, these are the two notices we got. The first notice we went to rectify, we actually have a lawn care company that goes out there every 7 to 10 days and wipes the property completely clean. When we got this notice on August the 4th, on the 5th, we contacted the contracting company to make sure that everything was done. And I think that staff will attest to the fact that it was done because we called it in.
Okay, Chip, do we have a clean property now?
No, it's not completed.
Okay,
they're
in process?
Well, Dwayne went out and did his inspection. I'll call Dwayne.
Okay, let's see if we can get an agreement here as to what the status of it is.
Yeah, it is.
It was cut and clean. But not completed at the time. Behind the floor, there was still one crew.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to hear. So he would know where his continuing problem is. Yeah. Behind the store?
Yes, sir. Yeah, and keeping the overgrowth on the fence line, there's not much grass area there in front of the store.
It's pretty tight.
Yeah. It's most of that along the fence line and then in the rear of the store.
Okay, so you got a little more cleanup, not much. Okay. Looks like the signs are...
It's not visible to the public.
That's not the issue.
It is actually not the
issue. Okay, that said, what are we going to do with the signs? What's the plan there?
Well, we have an open question because they were mentioning that they had sent documents 3 years ago and had this conversation. So I would want to find out who the conversation was held with, who the notices were sent to. Because all those documents do come to our office at 1820 Southeast 18th Avenue. We have over 40 businesses in town. We do a lot of work in town with revitalization, charity work, and everything else that we do. So this is important. I understand staying in compliance is important. So if there's an issue, we'd like to talk about what that issue is. Removing those signs, because as soon as we took the property over, we transferred everything into our name. It was transferred into REIT Investments. A license was obtained. We passed the code enforcement and the inspections for that. The fire inspection was done, it was completed, and the business license was obtained by us. We were going to barricade the this facility off. We were asked by local law enforcement not to do that because that's where they were catching folks violating traffic, traffic violations and things. So we kept it open. But what happens with that is when you keep it open and there's no one sitting there, people stop off and they dump their garbage.
It becomes a dump ground, and you become a billboard too.
Yeah. So that's the issue. I mean, it's not that we don't want to do it. We'll do whatever it takes to do it correctly. But removing those signs is almost a capital cost of taking it down and putting it back up is almost $80,000 to $85,000.
Okay.
So we're talking about straight line structures, redoing the facility, so there's got to be a happy medium. So if the setback isn't correct, and it was correct and it was in the grandfather's clause, then at the time of the first notice and going into the city to get that application, we should have had that documentation that said, hey, you're going to have this capital cost. Because at that point, we would have taken that into consideration when doing our closing. And so if those things weren't outlined, we wouldn't have known about it.
Okay.
And generally, with all the facilities that we do with y'all, you guys identify, you know, these are the things that need to be done when you switch over. We are going to demo that building. It's going to come down completely into brand new. We will obtain new permits to do everything. And it's actually in the process right now.
Okay. Let me tell you my philosophy on these signs. Okay. I understand there's a lot of money involved in taking these babies down. And I don't want to see you have to do it twice or, you know, this sort of thing. Tell me about the time. I'm patient on that subject. I mean, we've obviously lived 4 or 5 years with those things standing there and you know, and the realm has not come to an end. Okay. What's your timeline on demoing the building?
Actually, we're in the process. Actually, this morning I got to go up with the bank, so they're in the process of obtaining, finalizing the loan to obtain the proper financial requirements to build a new building. The specs and the code, the requirements were sent to an architect to design a mock job, so we can submit those plans.
So you're really serious about going forward with the gas station?
Yeah. I mean, I've got emails on my phone, so it's pretty, I mean, I can forward them off to the inspector or whoever just so they know that we've been talking about doing this. Unfortunately, our contract, it would have happened 2 weeks sooner, but our contract ended up being in the hospital, so there's nothing we could do about that. In terms of equipment, and we just built the plant on 17th Street, right beside Fleet Management, I mean, it's 9 months to get the equipment. Flat out. There's no
you're
rushing.
Talking about the natural gas equipment.
Correct. So we're not asking, we want to find out two things. One, we can understand this sign here that's posted that we see right now. How much further back is the setback, and how much lower does that sign need to be? Which is the whole point of the pylon sign, as you all know, is to draw in business. And then the highway sign is a highway sign. I mean, it's got to be up at least that high to be able, for people to be able to see, let's stop in Ocala, because we're going to be that hub for natural gas, right? And that's what that panel was meant for. And actually, I believe it was in June of this year, Citgo reps took that. Those panels down. So up until now, they were covered.
Okay.
And so the new faces got sent in for production, but they take time.
Sure.
So.
Is the construction of the new natural gas station going to be deferred until such time as the equipment arrives, or are we going immediately into construction?
We're going to have to work on those timelines. I'm not really. So I'm not the property owner. I represent the company. So the property owner is Mr. Brooke. So he is working with the banks and the finance institutions and getting those packages together. We did start this process about 45 days ago because we saw the need arising as the influx of folks using natural gas has increased over the last 4 months. So we plan on getting it done. And it's just, I can't do the exact timeline, but within a year, I believe that everything should be on its way or started somewhat throughout the week.
Okay.
So if there's a temporary fix so that it's not imposing some issues with anyone, then I would like to do that. But the highway sign, I would recommend to keep that as is. It is far off. It's far off to the back of the property, and it is high enough for traffic moving on the interstate to be able to see it. Bringing it down lower defeats the purpose of that sign.
Okay. I don't have any control over that.
No, I understand. No.
As long as you understand that. Okay, here's what I'm inclined to do. I'm inclined to pick a time in which you tell me you can have a building permit for the renovation of this property that includes bringing the signs as part of that permit into compliance.
Sure.
So the recommendation to staff is 90 days. Do you think you're going to have it in 90, or are we whistling Dixie and we ought to go 120 and see what's going on?
I would probably ask for 120.
Yeah.
And if it can be done sooner, then we'll do it sooner.
That's fine.
It's just...
And I think that there probably is a immediate step that they could take here.
Right.
If they were to put back the oval signs, mm-hmm. that could stretch their time frame out. But I can tell you from my experience that the sign out by the highway
isn't going to comply.
Not at all.
Okay. Well, here's my inclination. My inclination is to find the violation exists, to grant you 120 days to buy a building permit that includes the renovation of the signs into whatever code requires.
Okay.
I don't propose to tell you what that is. You then have the remaining building time that when the CO is issued on the renovation of the parcel, mm-hmm. signs need to be in compliance.
Okay.
And if you let the building permit lapse, then you're going to get hit with a violation at that point. Okay, so you got three triggers in there.
Yeah, we wouldn't allow a building permit to lapse because we have more than a million.
I don't think you're going to do it.
I mean, it would just make no sense.
That's the only three windows I've got.
Now,
in terms of covering
it up, do you want any specific color?
Yeah. Here's what you need to do. You need to sit down and have a prayer session with staff.
Okay.
They'll tell you exactly what they're looking for in terms of compliance.
We can do it.
Okay, thank
Simple.
You.
Simple.
Wonderful. I'm glad to hear you doing something with that, and that's a wonderful cure.
No, it's just, unfortunately, we didn't know when we got these two notices. First time I saw it, I said, the day I saw this notice, the second day we sent a crew out there. But sometimes when you're not watching, people don't do what they're supposed to do.
Got it. Thank you for coming by. You're doing a good job.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So ordered.
That will bring us to page 5 of the docket this morning. CO
140969. Rest Florida.
Yes, sir. The city will be proceeding in this case as a repeat violator. The case is CO 140969. The City of Ocala and Officer Ralph Schollenberger versus Res FL 5 LLC, a location within the city limits of 150 Northeast 12th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of Section 3495, weeds, and other unsightly and unsanitary matter. The parcel ID is 28310-005-00. Legal service was obtained on 7/24/2014. For the notice of hearing, and on 8/7/2014 for the posting of the notice of hearing. As part of the additional correspondence in this case, we've included a copy of the previous findings of fact and affidavit of partial compliance in the first case, and a copy of the Sunbiz report for the corporation. The summary findings are that Officer Ralph Schollenberger located this property and observed the properties in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation revealed that in 2013, the respondent was brought before the code enforcement special magistrate and found guilty for violation of code section 3495, qualifying this case as a repeat violator. Work by Officer Schollenberger enabled the violation to be cleared by the respondent. However, the city is continuing to adhere to obtain an order at this point. I would point out for the magistrate that this makes the 13th case at this location. We do have a staff recommendation.
Okay.
We've included copies of the photographs of the condition of the property. Shortly after,
are all those violations since 2011 when this owner purchased it?
I have to look that up for you real quick.
Because, he's not in control of what happened before he bought it. Okay. Fair enough. Let me keep going. I'm looking at the pictures.
Yeah, we were going to have a spreadsheet here that listed the dates.
This is that little red house that's behind the Social Security building or whatever it is back there. Okay, I know what it is. Yeah.
I just recall that you said for them not to come back here with it being...
Did I say that?
That overgrown at the last hearing.
We're not married. You don't get to say that. Only the wife gets to remind me of what I said.
My point being that it's not the city's responsibility to tell them they need to cut their grass.
I understand. Just like it's not your responsibility to tell the sign guy that he's supposed to change his sign either.
Plenty of activity at this location to indicate that they know that the grass needs to be cut and that they need to take care of it.
I got it. Pay costs of prosecution, which are $101.19.
In this particular case, the grass was cut shortly after Officer Schultenberger took.
So we are now in compliance?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Except if you go to the last photo.
I haven't had particular notice of that structure recently. For a while, the exterior was a mess, but it looks like it's been freshly repainted.
It's been completely rehabilitated and sold.
Yeah, it was a disaster for a while there.
So staff has a staff recommendation.
Okay.
And Officer Schultenberger is prepared.
14 days to mow it and clean it, right? Isn't that what it is?
Yes, and cost of prosecution.
Okay.
And found guilty of a repeat fire.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay, let's talk to the property owner.
Did we have a representative?
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, there's still time. If you'll be sworn in, please, and tell the secretary who you are and what your address is.
Do you swear affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. Steve Rudiani, 2441 Northeast 3rd Street, Suite 201, Ocala.
Okay, Mr. Rudiani, why do we seem to have a hard time mowing this lawn?
Well, I really don't know. I do know July it rained about every day.
Yeah, everybody had that.
And the property was mowed on June 17th. Was scheduled to be mowed again in July. It got mowed July 23rd, according to the bills my clients received. Obviously, it was not done on purpose. They've been mowing it.
Well, let me clarify my brain here a bit. I thought we were talking about the property with the little red house. We're apparently talking about the big field across the street from the little red house. Okay, all right. Okay, so it's that big open half block.
Correct.
Okay, gotcha.
And, my mowing guy just got behind.
Congratulations.
Like everybody else, probably.
Yeah. You now know what it feels like to be the last man standing.
Sometimes. That's in the real estate business, too, sometimes. Yeah.
Is there any reason why we can't get it? Well, we've already got it cut.
We already got it mowed. It's scheduled.
Okay. Okie dokes. Well, the summertime is just bad for everybody in terms of that. Okay. Well, how many times has this property been in the violation mode since you acquired title in 2011?
I don't know. I'm not the property owner. I'm just a real estate agent.
Okay.
Since I've been in charge of getting it and have my mowing guy mow, I don't think this is the first time this year.
Well, this is the first time we brought it before the magistrate this year, yes.
Okay.
It's just one of those things. It's not a yard. I don't know if we can keep it mowed like a yard.
That's an interesting never-never land that you don't want to go to.
And it's one of those things. You got some weeds over there, weedy material that just grows really fast this time of year.
Well, okay. Well, it pretty obviously was higher than the allowed limit, and so you do have a violation. The only thing I'm going to do is find that the violation did exist. I'm going to find that it's been cured. I'm going to tax the $101.19 in costs that the city spent doing it all, and we'll go from there. The problem with it is now that you do have the finding of a violation, is you just don't want to have another one, because that's when they start getting expensive.
Hopefully it'll be sold next month. So
good. Congratulations. It won't be your problem.
It won't be my problem.
Yeah. Then everybody will have money.
But, again, in my client's defense, they did have it scheduled to be mowed.
Okay.
And I think it got mowed before they even got notice of the violation.
Could well be. Anyway, so you're down to $101.19 and nothing else. So you're good to go there.
Great.
Thank you. So ordered.
That'll bring us to page 6 of the docket, CON 14, 1129. The City of Ocala and Officer Ralph Schultenberger versus Kenneth and Brandy Berry, a location of 921 Northeast 12th Terrace, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of Section 3495, weed accumulation of trash and other unsightly unsanitary matter. The parcel ID is 26026-000-00. All certified mail was returned. We posted the property on 8-6-2014 with a notice of violation and the notice of hearing. And as part of the presentation, we included photographs of the property.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is south of 14th. Gotcha.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's that residential neighborhood back in. Yeah, I know where it is. Okay.
All right. The summary of findings that Officer Ralph Schollenberger located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation by Officer Schollenberger revealed the respondents have not taken corrective action on the violation, and all attempts by Officer Schollenberger to have the response remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. Officer Schollenberger is prepared to answer any questions you may have. Staff has a recommendation, which I could read into the record at this time. We do have representation here as well.
Okay, that's clean and cut.
Find the respondent guilty of violating code section 3495. Order them to cut and clean up the property, properly removing any jumping debris. Pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed, all within 14 days, failing which fine of $25 per day, and consider city to enter upon the property and do the work utilizing any means required, with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure.
Okay. Give me just a second. You talk faster than I could. Okay, this looks like a vacant building lot, right?
Yes, sir. Officer Schollenberger reported to me that they have remedied the violation upon his reinspection. He confirms that the violation was remedied. Therefore, we would just be out the cost until we make the next inspection.
Okay.
And we call the respondent, though.
Okay. Come join me.
You swear affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And if you could state your name and address for the record.
Kenneth Travis Berry. It's 3712 West Pecan Street, Tampa, Florida.
Okay. So you got it all trimmed and cut?
Yes, Your Magistrate. As a little bit of background, my sister and I inherited this property from my grandmother back in 2007 when she passed away.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, it had a structure on the property. And in addition to, I guess today, we'd also received some notices, things of that, about the structure itself. So we had that demo removed, it took care of it.
Mm-hmm.
Since 2007, we've had it on a regular lawn maintenance program.
Mm-hmm.
Although I would propose that this is not a lawn, as others have mentioned. It's actually an acre lot, and the nuisance area that's being proposed here is approximately probably maybe 15% of the total lot. The rest is in its natural state. And this is just a small little side portion of it. With that said, we keep it mowed. This past time, our lawn guy went in the hospital, missed 2 weeks in the middle of July, and we received another complaint. I would suspect that every complaint that we've ever received is due to the neighbor with the structure right beside us.
Probably.
Who had took issue with this at the time my grandmother passed away, and we did not bequeath some things to her. It's my thought that every time the grass grows up to 12 inches and 1 centimeter, he calls in, files a complaint, forces these guys to go out there and look at it. They have to do their job, and that's where we're at.
Yeah.
Like I said, we've maintained the property since 2007. We missed one time in July. The return certified mail notice of this past violation. I was on vacation. They tried to deliver it 3 times. I got back. It's gone.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you cleaning it up. That's good. And the fact that you demolished the structure is wonderful. The code, interestingly enough, we ran into this about a year ago with a parcel of property on 17th Street and 22nd traffic light there.
Right adjacent to that, yes, sir.
Yeah. And the code, for whatever reason, makes no distinction between concerning what the nature of the parcel is. It simply asks the question, is the undergrowth more than 12 inches high? I mean, that parcel was in a native state. It had never had anything built on it, but it did have undergrowth of greater than 20, 12 inches.
And I believe that the other trigger is just that it's within 300 feet of
another, another structure. And this one probably is too, yeah. But anyway, so.
If I point out to the magistrate that the neighbor in this particular situation did not report this.
Oh, happy day, we have a new friend.
And the neighbor next door to him was also cited.
Oh, okay. Well,
so we
whatever.
Are equally offending everyone in the neighborhood.
Okay. Well, I need to find, you know, the violation's there. All I'm going to do is impose their costs of $102.69. The trick is you just got to keep it trimmed. Keep it on the regular maintenance. Sounds like that was your plan anyway.
It is our plan, and that's the case. I'm not sure why it comes up repeatedly. You know, as to the actual natural state of the property, it's not really possible to mow it. It is thick, and it's very similar to the city's property directly across the street where there's a retention pond. It's in its natural state, unmowed, or, you know, you can't mow it. So, you know, I would request to be found not guilty of it and let us to continue our maintenance program and take care of it. If you bring it back, then go from there. And as far as the cost, I don't know why, you know, I've noticed in the record that since in the past 10 days, they've been out there four times to look at it to see if it's in compliance. If that's their cost, and it's been noted to be in compliance all four times. So I request we don't have to pay the cost either.
If it was in compliance on the first time you visited, why did we visit three more times? Yes. Yeah, yeah, take a look. Show.
Sure.
Let's take a look at that.
I showed three inspections.
Right.
Not four.
Well, okay.
We charge $10 per trip. If you went out there one time to do the initial notice, another time to check to see if it had been started or any work had been done, and then a final time prior to this hearing to see the condition of the property. That's our normal modus operandi. We always try to include a photograph before this year.
Yeah. How did you reach the conclusion that it was in compliance before they ever did any of these inspections?
If I said that, I misspoke.
Oh, that's what I thought you were saying.
It was certainly, based on the picture. Well, I don't know if you can call from the picture itself, but it's taken from a,
ground level looking up to make the weeds look even higher. But with that said,
I would object to that characterization on the record. We don't take the pictures from ground level.
Got it, Chip. Got it. Okay.
Well, the picture is in the actual file.
I have the pictures right here.
Okay. As far as the inspections, it was, I just pulled this off the Ocala website, and it shows four inspections on 8/15, 8/1, 8/26, 8/22. That's four to me. Only one says non-compliance. They have different records. I don't have those.
No, I would also indicate that other items, work done in the office, are also counted as an inspection of work in the case. So that might be where he's misunderstanding. We've charged for three inspections on site.
Well, put that.
Yeah.
Said your magistrate, they may have gone out there three times, but after I found out about this, I called them and told them it was taken care of. So the three subsequent inspections, I'm not sure what they were there for.
And I would indicate that we do not have three subsequent inspections.
Okay, I got the drift. Yeah, I guess the reason why I'm struggling with it is that if you hadn't done what you had done, we'd be looking at a building that we also would be out there distressed about. Oh, Chip, hold on. So I'm going to find the violation existed and impose $50 a cost. And so, you know, that's where you are. You just don't let it happen again, because like I was telling the other guy, the second time around, you know, is when it gets expensive. So just make sure your mowing team stays in place and keep the grass down. Okay? Thank you.
Please, Your Honor, we move on in the docket this morning to page 3, COM 140930.
Page 3.
The City of Ocala and Officer Dwayne Thomas versus Jason and Jessica Wells, the Bank of New York Mellon, BAC Home Loan Servicing, and Select Portfolio Servicing, Inc., a location of 1321 Southeast 42nd Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of Section 3432, Water Collections, 3495, Weeds Accumulation of Trash and Other Unsightly Unsanitary Matter, and Section 34143, Maintenance Requirements. The parcel ID is 2965-020-000. All certified mail was returned, and we posted the property on 11-18-2014 for the notice of hearing. I would report to the magistrate that we are proceeding in this case as a repeat violator, and having said that, the additional correspondence included in the case is a copy of the findings of fact and affidavit of partial compliance where the city brought this case into compliance the first time. We have also included the less pendants and a letter from the bank.
Okay, and the repeat violation is both as to the property owner, Wells, and the bank?
Yes, sir. And I would say Wells probably has the most minor part of this.
I understand.
Because
Wells
bank
is not
of
an
New York
is not an actor anymore.
Yeah, and the Bank of New York is
is a regular visitor.
Yes, sir. I'll leave it at that. You've addressed it appropriately. The summary of findings that Officer Dwayne Thomas responded to this location due to a citizen's complaint and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code as previously stated. Additional investigation revealed that in 2014 the respondent was brought before the code enforcement special magistrate and found guilty for code sections 3432, 3495, and 34141 through 145, qualifying this case as a repeat violator. Further investigation by Officer Thomas revealed that the respondents have not taken corrective action on the violations, and all attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. As part of your presentation, we've included photographs of the current condition of the property. You'll see that we've got, again, the pool problem, the overgrown condition on the property.
And the bank has had the foreclosure going since 2009.
Yes, sir. This is our fifth year of entertaining this problem.
Yep. Is that your cover that's on it?
Yeah, at the bottom of page one.
1 of 5?
Yes, sir. That was what we had previously done. But then, as you can see, as you go further down the line.
Deteriorates. Yeah.
Yes, sir. It doesn't.
Yeah, change. Boy, it eventually went. Okay.
This has been a tough summer for everybody.
Yep. Okay. Do we have anyone here?
Is anyone here for representation?
Okay.
Staff has a recommendation at the bottom of page two of your presentation.
I read it. I'll adopt the staff recommendation, so ordered.
That'll bring us to the next case on your docket, same page in the middle of there, COM 14-1075. The City of Ocala and Officer Dwayne Thomas versus Sukito Chenderman, I believe. I probably chopped that one up as well. The city would be presenting this case as a repeat violator as well. This is a location of the 700 block of West Silver Springs Place, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly unsanitary matter. The parcel ID is 2844-009-003. All certified mail has been returned to the city. as not accepted, and we posted the property on 8-6-2014 for the notice of hearing. As part of the additional correspondence in this case, we've included a copy of the previous findings of fact and affidavit of partial compliance in the first case, where this board was found guilty by the Municipal Code Enforcement Board for this violation. The summary of findings that Officer Dwayne Thomas responded to this location and upon arrival, due to a citizen's complaint, and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation revealed that in 2014, the respondent was brought before the Municipal Code Enforcement Board and found guilty for violation of Code Section 3495, qualifying this case as a repeat violator. Further investigation by Officer Thomas revealed that the respondent has not taken corrective action on the violation, and all attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful in the violation remains. Staff recommendation is find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 3495, a repeat violator for Chapter 162.04 of Florida Statute. Order them to cut and clean up their property, properly removing any junk and debris, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed, all within 14 days, failing which a fine of $500 per day to a maximum of $5,000, and the city to enter upon the property to do the work utilizing any means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, report the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. I would point out for the record, we do not have representation by the respondent here today. Officer Thomas is prepared to answer any questions that you may have.
Staff recommendation is adopted, so ordered.
That will bring us to the next case on your docket, CUM 14-0047, the City of Ocala versus Sarah Cheshire and Officer Jason Kilcrease, a location of 2425 Northeast 16th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. And just a moment to catch up in the paperwork.
Okay. We've got derelict vehicles on this one.
Yes, sir. This is a violation of Code Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly, unsanitary matter. The Section 82-442, implementation of and enforcement of the numbering system, and Section 82-443, display of building numbers. The parcel ID is 24491-000-00. Legal service was obtained on 7-22-2014 for the notice of violation, and the certified mail was returned for the notice of hearing. However, we posted the property on 7-23-2014 for the notice of violation and on 8-1-2014 for the notice of hearing. We've indicated the posting in our photographs there. The summary of findings that Officer Jason Kilcrease responded to this location due to a citizen's complaint upon arrival, observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown, contains junk and debris, and does not have the required building numbers displayed. Additional investigation by Officer Kilcrease revealed the respondents have not taken corrective action remedying the violation, and all attempts by Officer Kilcrease to have the respondents cure the violations have not been successful, and the violations remain. Staff has included photographs of the current condition of the property. Officer Kilcrease is prepared to answer any questions that you may have. I would point out for the record that we do not have representation here by the respondent this morning, and staff has prepared a staff recommendation at the bottom of page 2. If you'd like, I'll read it into the
record. I've read it. I just have one question.
Yes, sir.
The deed you have in the package is a 2005 deed. There is a subsequent final judgment, which I presume to be a foreclosure judgment, and we may have the wrong owner.
We do the research that we are capable of doing. I've got, you might be on the wrong case. I'm looking at a quick claim deed.
Well, I'm on. One second. You're right. Okay, 1 second. This one is 1075. Oh, this is 1040. I'm sorry. I was trying to make that work.
No problem, sir.
Wasn't working for me. Okay.
We do all the research that we can
determine
ownership through the
list. You're not supposed to be a title examiner. I got that. Okay. Okay, I find the violation exists. Adopt staff recommendation. So ordered.
That would bring us to the next page on your docket, page 4, CUM 14-0320. The City of Ocala and Officer Jason Kilcrease versus Jerome Kettling. This is a location at the 700 block of Northwest 23rd Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of Section 3495. Weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly unsanitary matter. The parcel ID is 22401-001-00, All certified mail has been returned. However, we posted the property on 4-4 of 2014 for the notice of violation and 7-29 of 2014 for the notice of hearing. The summary of findings that Officer Jason Kilcrease responded to this location due to the citizen's complaint upon arrival observed the property in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation by Officer Kilcrease revealed the respondent has not taken corrective action on the violation. In all attempts by Officer Kilcrease to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful and the violation remains. Staff has included photographs of the current condition of the property. Staff has a recommendation at the bottom of page 2 of your presentation. I would point out for the record that we do not have representation in this case this morning by the respondent. Officer Kilcrease is prepared to answer any questions you may have.
Okay. Let me just look at the photos. Yeah, okay. Well, this is, here's, okay, big, okay. May not have always been big, but it is now.
This is a good example of where we have required before that they trim down the underbrush mm-hmm. so we can see through the property. It helps the police, keeps the vagrants from camping, whatnot.
I understand. Okay. I find the violation exists and adopt the staff recommendation.
That'll bring us to the next case on your docket this morning, CON 14-0719, the City of Ocala versus Michael William and Lori Lee Chuchian, a location of 3726 Southeast 7th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 3495, weeds accumulation of trash and other unsightly and sanitary matter, Section 34121, the definition for abandoned or derelict vehicles, and Section 34122, abandoned or derelict vehicles. A violation of Section 122.1193, parking of trailers, commercial vehicles in a residential area and trailer storage, and Section 122.1282, prohibited home occupations. You may recall this from when you were serving on the code board. This is over by Ward Highlands Elementary School, and this has been a continuing problem for many years.
I was going to say, most of the people that I remember back then have all died of old age. It's been so long.
In this case, the partial ID is 27705-000-00. Legal service was obtained on 7-26-2014 for the notice of violation, and certified mail was returned on the notice of hearing, and we posted the property on 7-23-2014 for the notice of violation and notice of hearing. We have included a copy of the previous history.
So this is the 8th violation since 2008?
Yes, sir. But time expired on the first time they were bought.
I understand.
So we're starting over.
They are frequent shoppers. The prior one was in 2013.
Right, but it did not go to a board.
Ah.
We've been trying to work with this gentleman for quite some time. And we're just
tired
at the end of that. The summary of findings that Officer Jason Kilcrease responded to this location due to the citizen's complaint and upon arrival observed the property in violation of the city's code that it contains junk and debris, has abandoned and derelict vehicles, is conducting a business for vehicle restorations and operating in an R1 district, has commercial vehicles over 3/4 ton parked in the front of the home, has trailers in the front of the home, and is thereby conducting a prohibited home occupation for this zoning district. Officer Kilcrease responded to the location, observed there have been no changes made to cure the violations noted at the location, and all attempts by Officer Kilcrease to have the respondent remedy the violation have been unsuccessful, and the violation remains. I would point out to the magistrate that we do not have representation here today by Mr. Chuchian, who usually has responded to these hearings.
Okay, let's look at this for a second. We got a tow truck parked in the front yard.
Yes, sir. We have a tow truck, a forklift, numerous trailers, storage trailers, cars without tags.
Now, on the other hand, he does apparently, it isn't like we're not dealing in some pricey vehicles.
No, sir, it's my opinion that he's doing vehicle restorations here.
Well, if they were a hobby, I don't know that that would be a violation, but maybe would, maybe wouldn't. But if he's bringing in other people's vehicles.
That's what we're being told. Officer Kilcrease did speak with him, and he says that, you know, he has problems on a continual basis with his neighbors.
I don't doubt it.
Yes, sir.
How in the world did we ever wind up with what, for lack of another name, I'll call a warehouse, sitting on the property line?
Yeah, that was his house that was originally here, burnt down. And he came in with a whole site plan to put a new house and a garage on the back, and that met the code requirements for its location and placement.
Wow.
Now, what's happened with that since then is...
My question would be, does the original site plan include the shed that's been added to the side of the original structure?
I'd have to look that up. I would assume that it probably does not.
I mean, that does look like an add-on.
We couldn't find, Officer Kilcrease informed me that we could not find anything that included that.
And you might want to look at the footprint on the original plans.
We may be bringing that back.
Okay. I mean, I got to give the guy credit. I mean, the house looks very nice, and he's fenced it nicely. But he pretty obviously is doing something that I can well understand why the neighbors are not too excited. We're fine. Okay. Looks like the trailers managed to migrate into that screened area. Just out of curiosity, there appears to be a broken, probably 4x8 plywood sheet sign of some variety laying on the ground. Does that happen to have a commercial name on it?
I don't know which picture you're referring to.
Oh, let's talk about number 13.
Okay. Officer Kilkas indicated that while he was there, there was a steady stream of people coming to the location and leaving.
Just looks like there's a sign.
It was kind of a business atmosphere.
Just curious.
Page 13.
Page 13, yeah.
Oh, I saw that in the other photographs as well. I can't tell.
It does look like a sign.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Shows up again in one of the last ones.
It does show up in some of the earlier photographs as well, when the angle is correct.
Yeah.
We got
a big transport trailer, too, in addition to the tow truck.
We did notice that.
Okay. All right, well, let's see if we can get his attention. I find the violation exists and adopt the staff recommendation.
Thank you. That will move us on to the bottom of page 4 of the docket. And that's CUN 140751, the City of Ocala and Officer Jason Kilcrease versus Wells Fargo Bank. I've got two of them, so I'm just a little confused.
Okay, so Wells Fargo is our only defendant in this one.
Yes, sir.
Our respondent, or whatever we call them.
In this case, Officer Kilcrease cited Wells Fargo Bank for a location at 1421 Northeast 26th Lane, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, in violation of Section 3432, Water Collections, 3495, Weeds, Accumulation of Trash, and Other Unsightly and Sanitary Matter, Section 82-181, the definition of a dangerous structure requiring abatement. Section 82-182, dangerous building, declared a nuisance, abatement required. Section 82-512, barrier for a pool. And Section 82-513, specifications for said barrier. The parcel ID is 24469-000-18. Legal service was obtained on 8-4-2014 for the notice of violation and the notice of hearing, and we posted the property on 8-1-2014 for the notice of violation and the notice of hearing. The additional correspondence included with your presentation is a letter from the bank and a current property registration, which
this
violation
one's had,
of.
This one's had a checkered history.
Yes, sir.
When you look at the transfer history,
it's all over the place.
2009 transfer to bank, 2010 transfer from bank, which is a strange sort of entry, but anyway. And then in 14, we're back to transfer to the bank. I presume that was a foreclosure and a sale and then another foreclosure.
And sometimes we've found that the banks are passing them around amongst themselves. Wells Fargo does that.
Really?
Quite a bit with us.
They actually transfer between banks, huh?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
The summary finds that Officer Jason Kilcrease responded to this location due to the citizen's complaint, and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code in that it has a water collection, it is overgrown, and contains junk and debris, as well as a dangerous structure, and has no barrier around the pool, as is required by our code and Florida statute. Additional investigation reveals the structure is dangerous due to its unsecured condition and the possibility of transient neighborhood children activity upon the property. This property is contributing to the deterioration and slum and blight of the neighborhood, and further investigation by Officer Kilcrease revealed the respondent has not taken corrective action on the violations. All attempts for Officer Kilcrease to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. Staff has included copies of photographs of the current condition of the property, and staff has a recommendation at the bottom of page 2 of your presentation. Mm-hmm. I would indicate for the record that we do not have representation by Wells Fargo here today.
Yeah, that garage is just standing open.
And the door.
Yeah. And the door, yeah. I'm surprised there's still air conditioning compressors. Maybe there aren't. There may not be a well either. That thing has been hollowed out. You can see all the way through it. Yeah, okay.
What we would like to do is, of course, get
secure
out there,
it,
recover the pool, get the barrier back intact, and then, of course, secure the property.
Sure.
And cut and clean it.
Fence is collapsing. Yes, I find the violation exists and adopt the staff recommendation.
That will bring us to page 5 of your docket this morning, C-114-0769. City of Ocala and Officer Jason Kilcrease versus St. Mark's United Methodist Church, a location at 1789 Northeast 8th Road, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of section 122.51, building permit required. The parcel ID is 26254-000-00. Legal services obtained on 7-8-2014 for the notice of violation. A certified mail was returned for the notice of hearing, and we posted the property for the notice of hearing on 7-8-7 of 2014. We have included a copy of the Sunbales report, and we would require a building permit. The summary of findings that Officer Jason Kilcrease responded to this location due to the citizen's complaint upon arrival observed the property's violation of the city's code and that a shed was installed upon the property without the proper required permits. Additional investigation by Officer Kilcrease revealed the respondents have not taken corrective action, and all attempts by Officer Kilcrease to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. Officer Kilcrease indicated to me that he had worked with these respondents about 4 months now. Approximately 4 months. They did get the shed strapped down, but they have not been able to get a permit because of the fact that they cannot get engineering for the structure. And the way it's explained to me is that you can buy this shed for one price and have it delivered on your property, and if you buy the shed for another price, you get the engineering diagram and the permit pulled for the installation.
Yeah.
So that's how it's explained to me. We've been working with them for quite a bit of time, but at this point we need to get an order and move on. I would point out for the record we do not have representation here today, and we have a fairly simple staff recommendation. I think that they would be able to come back at the code board hearing to request more time under petition if they can't get it done by then. But
okay, we're not talking about the red building. We're talking about
the shed behind that little building is what we're talking about.
Is anybody, you know, we have a lot of shed cases on the county code board.
We've been getting more lately.
Well,
we've had a few that we've been able to bring into compliance by them just coming down and getting a permit to have it inspected.
Yeah.
But this becomes a giant missile.
Yeah, I understand.
If it's not inspected.
But our experience has been that virtually all of them wind up coming into compliance either because somebody takes some time, goes in and looks around the eave on the inside looking for the manufacturer's codes.
Yes.
And it's not uncommon to be able to find the specs right on the internet. You just go to the manufacturer, put in the code of the shed you got, and they usually are printable. Otherwise, you have to pay an engineer to go in and say, yeah, it meets the code.
I would say that we've never had to have an engineer go into any of these.
Good.
They've always been able to
figure it out somehow.
And got the building department satisfied with the requirements.
Yeah. If I hear once, I hear six times a month in the county code. Well, they told me they had pulled all the So the problem with that little confession is it admits you knew you were supposed to have permits. Yeah, okay. I find the violation exists and adopt the staff recommendation.
That would bring us down to the bottom of page 5 of your docket this morning, COM
14-1001.
The City of Ocala and Officer Ralph Schollenberger versus Dennis McFadden Jr., Deborah McFadden, Daryl McFadden, and Sandra McFadden. A location at 1715 Northwest 18th Court, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly and sanitary matter. Section 82181, the definition of a dangerous structure, and Section 82182, dangerous building declared a nuisance abatement required. The parcel ID is 2195-170-000. All certified mail has been returned, and we posted the property on 7/24/2014 for the notice of violation and the notice of hearing. As part of your presentation, we've included photographs of the current condition of the property and the summary of findings at the end of this presentation. And the summary of findings that Officer Ralph Schollenberger located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code, as previously stated. Additional investigation reveals the structure is dangerous due to the unsecure condition and the possibility of transient neighborhood children activity upon the property. This property is contributing some to the deterioration, some blight of the neighborhood. In all attempts by Officer Schollenberger to have the respondent remedy all the violations have not been successful and the violations remain. I would indicate that we do not have representation here this morning on this case and that we have included a copy of the staff recommendation at the bottom of page 2 of your presentation. Also, that Officer Schollenberger is prepared to answer any questions you may have.
Okay.
We have had previous cases here that have generally taken care of it. We don't have one that would bring this back to you as a repeat at this time.
The 10401 Southeast Maricamp address that they've got on their tax roll?
Yes, sir.
Is that a business location or is that a residence, you know?
10401, that's going to be quite
a
ways
that's
out.
That's 1404.
Yes, sir, 104. And
what's baseline?
58.
Yeah, it's out.
Yeah, it's considerably out there.
Okay.
Don't ask me how I know baseline is 58.
Well, that's way too much information. It's just part of your new sensitive side that's come out because you've suddenly become concerned about small neighborhood children.
Yes, sir.
I mean, we've heard that three or four times today.
And the transients.
You've always been sensitive to the transients, but now you've added small children trying to load up on me. You know.
Would we do that, Dean?
No.
We try to make your decision.
Okay, let me see. This is a Moog. Wow, okay. Yeah, somebody dumped a dump truck.
Putting it in Google, it looks like a business, right?
It's a business location? Yeah, that's what it looks like. I don't think all five of those, four or five of those people all live at the same address. These folks got title in a estate distribution. Dad died. Okay, I find the violation existed and adopt the staff recommendation.
That'll bring us to the top of page 6 of the docket this morning. We're working our way through it. It's a big one.
You're doing fine.
CO14-1021. The City of Ocala and Officer Ralph Schoenberger versus Deborah Hicks and Ronald Johnson, a location at 1003 Northeast Sanchez Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly, unsanitary matter. The parcel ID number is 2619-00014-000. All certified mail has been returned. We posted the property on 7/25/2014 for the notice of violation and the notice of hearing. And the summary of findings that Officer Ralph Schoenberger located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation by Officer Schoenberger revealed the response have they did take corrective action on the violation, and work officer Schoenberger enabled the violation to be cleared up by the respondent. However, the city is continuing to obtain an order. We have indicated photographs.
Yeah. This property's been through a bunch of hands. It got foreclosed in 93, then a quick claim deed out in 03, and then another quick claim deed in 06.
And I think that's been our frustration, is it keeps turning over and over and over, and it gets out of, you know, compliance.
Yeah.
We do have a staff recommended at the bottom of page 2 for your review.
Okay, let me look.
And I would point out for the record, we do not have representation by the respondents here this morning, and that Officer Schoenberger is prepared to answer any questions that you may have.
Okay, let me take a look at the photos. It's not so good. Cute little property, but the grass is up to your knees. Okay, I find the violation exists and adopt the staff recommendation.
That brings us to the middle of page
house.
6 of your docket, COM 14-1047, the City of Ocala and Officer Ralph Schoenberger versus Joseph A. Williams IV, a location at 908 Northeast 5th Street. A violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly and sanitary matter. Section 34121, the definition of an abandoned or derelict vehicle. And Section 34122, abandoned or derelict vehicles. Sections 82442, implementation and enforcement of the numbering system. And Section 82443, display of building numbers. The parcel ID number is 2826-058-000. All certified mail has been returned. We posted the property on 7/25/2014 for the notice of violation and the notice of hearing. We would be proceeding in this case as a repeat violator. Therefore, we have included a copy of the findings of fact and the affidavit of partial compliance in the first case where the city brought the property into compliance.
Do your notices of partial compliance on the prior case mean they got it mowed and cleaned up but they didn't pay the fine?
Sometimes it means that, sometimes, and I'll bring that up, sometimes it means that we took care of the property and they have not paid any of the fines.
Okay. But one way or another, the genesis source of the problem has gone away. We just got a financial problem with them.
Correct. In this particular case, the violation was abated and that the prosecution paid costs of $102.69 remained unpaid as well.
Okay, so the owner didn't respond in any regard.
Yes, sir.
See, that's what I'm curious about. I wonder if the taxes are paid. Okay. Joseph resides in Ocala.
And they apparently were here, I believe Officer Schoenberger had a discussion with them.
As I say, apparently the owner lives on the parcel.
Yes, sir.
He's got a homestead exemption on it. Particular owner has bought it, no final judgment. That's probably a foreclosure judgment. Now let's see. That's weird. The property appraiser's records show the last title transaction as being in June of 2014, which was a whole 2 months ago or whatever, by a final judgment, which typically would be a foreclosure. But the instrument you have in your package is the deed from 2005.
Yeah, and we don't know if they bought it back.
But you would think.
Okay. Or who it went to.
No.
And Officer Schoenberger, who didn't know what it was. Maybe a squatter, you know. I don't know.
Yeah.
We had a previous case there where they did bring
in
property and compliance, but it went back out.
It's kind of a cute parcel. The banana plants and palm trees and all that. The building itself isn't much.
And the taxes are paid.
Taxes are paid? Okay. Kids' toys. Is this the one that we had them building big high fences all over the place back about a year ago? Where they kept trying to block it out so we couldn't see into the parcel?
This is probably that one.
I remember this, yeah. They also grow a good crop of kudzu.
There was some indication to me from Officer Schoenberger that they were apparently ordered to take down.
Yes, we did. We ordered them to take some of those fences down.
And, still a problem.
I mean, some of those fences somehow. It's got to be an 8 foot high fence. That parcel, let me back up to the property appraisers thing a minute. Property appraiser says this parcel is how big? Here we go. That's only a quarter of an acre. Wow. Okay. All right. Pretty obviously exists. So I adopt the staff recommendations and we go forward from there.
That will bring us to the top of page 7. In your petitions to request a reduction of penalty.
Wells Fargo wants a reduction?
Yes, sir. CM140274. We have included the case documents. We have a case cost of about $700 here. The city stands in opposition to this.
274. Okay, wait a minute. Let me open up case cost. Let me look at the photos for a second and see what we got going here in the way of violation.
I believe all we have is the compliance photos here for
you. Oh, okay. So it's a single family residence that the bank foreclosed on, and I guess, let's see, let me take a look here.
Okay. It was over.
So it was Pleasant at one point in time. And when I look at the petition, that's the petition. In the original case that they were found guilty in, what was the violation? Was it water and overgrown?
I have to look that up for you. I think I have it handy. It was for the overgrowth. Yes.
Overgrowth? Okay. Okay. Wells Fargo says they don't have any hardship. They got the title on 514.
Right.
And it's now in compliance. Okay, this is another one where they've been sitting around letting this thing rot. Their Liz Pendens was recorded in August of 2009.
Right. I've got a copy of that if you want to
see. Yeah, no, I checked. So, this is another one where they sat there and let us struggle with it while doing nothing. Let me look at the case cost sheet. $50 a day, 14 days, $700. Prosecution, $132. They want relief from that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, their minds. The answer is no. Denied.
That will bring us to the next petition, C-114-0814. We've included the copy of the petition. The city stands in opposition of this request as well.
One second. Ladies, I gummed up my dashboard here.
CM140814, David A. Porter.
Is this one, this one right here? Okay, old cases up there. Okay. 814 now. Now, is that in my red icons or in the petition icons?
That's in the petition icons, sir.
Oh, I got you. Okay, now let me look. 814.
This is a property that we've had continual issues with. The gentleman that owns the property lives in Queen Creek, Arizona.
Wherever that is.
In Arizona.
He has a medical hardship. Okay, he has a separate page. Received, 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 received. Call Matt Lee Freed. Property is mine. I live in Arizona. House is listed. Renewed the listing. Reduced the price.
The only amount that's being charged here is the cost of prosecution, $87.94.
Yeah, he's kidding. That would be denied.
That'll bring us to the next section on your docket this morning. Request for parking violation
cases.
Hearings. I would report to the magistrate that the city supports all of the requests to dismiss these citations and would respectfully request a motion and direction to dismiss the four citations listed.
So done.
That'll bring us to the page 8 of your agenda this morning. Old business, consent agenda for noncompliance. The city would indicate by affidavit in the case files that case CUM 140016, CUM 140608, CUM 140701, and CUM 140784 are non-compliant and would respectfully request a motion and direction that we proceed with previous orders in their cases.
Okay, orders are entered failure to comply by the compliance dates pursuant to the prior orders.
The city would also respectfully request that all of the evidence, testimony, and presentations given this morning be accepted into the record, and that we do have on discussion a gentleman in a previous case this morning that would like to readdress the magistrate.
Okay. Okie doke. Hi. We've included all the evidence. Let's revisit the signs. I'm sorry, I would have taken you sooner if I knew you were just
all right.
Out there.
I understand. I'm patient. So Neil Patel again.
Right, still under oath. You got it.
1820 South East 18th Avenue. In reference to case number COM 140824, on direction and having a good conversation with Dwayne, we do have a plan of action on what we're going to do. And the question that came about was a question about our license. And we were talking back and forth, but for the record, wanted to state, they said there was issues from 2009 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
Our first, and I'm showing you this because I just got this from the city, the first date that we actually acquired our license was July 15th of 2011.
Okay.
So we couldn't have had any notices before that. But it's kind of hard to see, but on May 21st of 2014, according to Joanne Brichetto and Ann Howell at the City of Ocala, they said that somebody called in and as per phone call, they canceled the license. As per a random phone call.
Okay, well, I don't think the violation today, the citation today is not related to the license.
Well, no, the question is,
why would somebody call in and do that? Got no idea.
And that's what, but we wanted to say that, and then Dwayne's still working with us to find that question out. But 40 days into the first notice, somebody called in to cancel it. And they, the hard part is that they have no verification process behind the call.
Okay,
or,
well.
As to who did it.
If
so,
it's that easy to cancel one, it's probably just as easy to reinstate it.
Well,
I will also indicate that in our previous testimony, we did not indicate that we had a case against him.
We're just on the existing.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Just for clarification, I mean, we'll do whatever it takes to get it to the right state. So the question is, do you want us to get a business license reissued after the date that it expires?
Business tax certificate is completely up to you.
Well, Yeah, if you're not running a business on the until you start running a business on the location, you don't need a tax certificate.
Is there an adverse effects of not having one on the property? No. It's not a requirement by any means?
No.
Well, it is a requirement.
It's
if you're running a business.
Correct, yeah. But it's not a requirement right now.
As long as you have a passive parcel, that you're not operating any kind of entity out of it, you don't need a business.
And I just wanted to make sure that I had that for clarification.
Yeah, you're okay.
They're okay with us going in and reapping everything and having it set for the expiration. I wanted to make sure if that is a requirement, then I might as well go ahead and get it done now while I'm down here.
Well, it's also not very expensive.
No, it's not.
I mean, just a few dollars.
$80.
Oh, okay, $80.
So if it's something that's necessary, then we'll do it. If it's not necessary.
At this point, I don't know of any reason why it would be.
Your recommendation, sir? Any recommendation?
Yeah, he's not going to give you advice.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
Good enough.
Just more curious than anything else.
Thank you.
Probably something that needs to be put in to verify how license can be open and closed.
Okay. And if you're ever bored on Thursday mornings, come visit.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for all your help.
Thank you.
Are we adjourned?
The city rests, sir.
Okay, we're adjourned. All the record is put together.